When I think of all my faults and all my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed by the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own, but every time I come before His throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. And when He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hand.
I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, yet I can come before Him unashamed.
I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. And when He looks at me, scarred hands that bought my liberty, I stand redeemed.
Great. Thanks, fellas. Let's stand together for 1 second. If you are able, let's all stand together. We'll read a few verses here and we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. We're looking forward to a great, great fall. Of course, Friend Day, 7 weeks away. So I encourage you to start finding your friends, okay? And be careful who you invite. Jerry Montgomery came on a Friend Day, so be very careful because sometimes they don't leave, all right? So we want to get the right people here. But Brother Montgomery's been a great blessing. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we'll read about 11 or 12 verses, and then we'll let you, we'll be seated. Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at the prodigal son this morning. He had some problems, and I don't want them to be problems that we have in our life. You look at the results, but we have a tendency just to look at the bad results of someone's life instead of looking at what got them to that place. And it doesn't just happen by accident. Oh, look, oh, that person's having a struggle in their life. It's because there's some things going on underneath. And if you deal with those things, things can go better. Luke chapter 15, look at verse 11. We'll start there. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Want means lack. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for, again, loving us. Bless this morning, these few minutes we have as we look into your word. Help us to learn some lessons that would help us not to make the same mistakes he made and to end up in the same place that he ended up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We know well the story of the prodigal son. The word prodigal means wasteful. So we look at the story here, we'll see that he will take the resources that his father gave him and he's going to waste them with the way that he lives. It was the resources that his loving father had given to him. We see as in the story he goes up and he demands of his father to get his portion and his inheritance. Now the father legally did not have to give that to him at that time, but the father chose to. It's interesting to note that the father not only gave him his portion, the father said it divided unto them. He also gave the older brother his portion too. It was as if the son, in essence, were saying to his father, because he wanted his inheritance, kind of like, I wish you were dead. I want what's mine. It must have been a slap in the father's face. The son wanted, basically, to do his own thing and to have his own freedom. You know, as you look at the story, the real sadness in the story is not the fact that the father lost his resources early, although I'm sure the other son would take care of him. The real sadness in the story is that the father is going to lose his son. The son takes off with his newfound wealth, thinking it will lead him to happiness, but it doesn't. By the way, we think the same thing. It is so hard to get that driven out of us. We think if we had all the money we wanted, all the things we wanted, we would be happy. That's not true. Some of the most miserable people in the world have everything they'll ever want. Thomas Huxley said, a man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do just as he likes. I do my own thing. I got all the money I want. I can do whatever I want. And no one ever is going to tell me what to do. I'm going to be happy. Brother, that's the road to misery. Not Missouri. Misery. It's misery. We don't know what's best for us. He should have trusted his father, but he takes off. By the way, he lived the party lifestyle. So how long did the party lifestyle last? As long as his money lasts. Once he loses the money, party's over, the friends are gone, he's feeding pigs. By the way, for a Jew, now this morning in Sunday school, Brother Chim obviously was cooking bacon in his class because I could not concentrate. I could smell it. Man, if I would have smelled gravy, I would have just dropped the microphone and I'd have been in there, okay? You put bacon and gravy together, there is nothing that can't fix. What were we talking about? Oh, the Bible, yes. I'm hungry now. Your fault. But the party was over. What is the main story? What is the main line of the prodigal son? He made bad decisions. By the way, that's our problem. The decisions we make will affect the rest of our life. We make decisions so haphazardly. Something comes our way. By the way, I've heard people say, you know, they'll make a bad decision. Why'd you do that? It's, well, you know, I just had to do something. No, you didn't. Be careful with the decisions you make. Where we end up is like a choice. All these decisions we make have consequences and get us to a certain place in our life. We want to make the right decisions. He didn't. Not only will our decisions hinder where our life goes, it affects those whom we love, those who are around us. As a father, my decisions will affect my family, okay? As children, your decisions will affect your parents negatively, and so forth and so on. So decisions are very important. Don't take them lightly. Sometimes the decisions we make are the result of how we want to live. Fact of the matter is, most of the time, that's how our decisions are made. We look at what we want, what we think is best, where we're trying to get to, and we justify our decisions thinking it'll get us to there because that's what we want in our life. This is not original with me, but I've mentioned on many times a quote, a man's morality usually determines his theology. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. It just sounds smart. It means this. The way a man usually wants to live, what he'll do is take his spiritual beliefs and conform them to get him to be able to live the way he wants to live. I want to live this way, therefore I'm going to believe this. By the way, people excuse all kinds of nonsense by the Bible. Don't let people just pull a few things here and there. Well, obviously this, obviously that, obviously nothing. What does God's word say? We want what we believe to conform to the way that we live. You see, we're all skewed here. When I got saved, I got right with God, I didn't say, here's how I want to live. Now let me make the Bible fit that lifestyle. I started learning the Bible and I learned the truth and I said, I have to conform my life to the truth that I'm learning. I was ignorant, and they weren't preaching on rock music there, but I had all kinds of wrong music I was listening to, and he didn't specifically preach out at that time, and I'd go home, and you know, I'm reading my Bible, and I'd listen to my music, and it took about a month for me to say, these two are incompatible. Now, let me throw that out there again. These two are incompatible. Oh, it's just music. No, don't give me that. You can learn your ABCs by music. You can learn your states by music. Whenever they want a little something to teach children in school, they do it by music. Don't tell me the words don't have an effect on you. But as I'm sitting there reading my Bible, listening to music, I'm like, something's got to go. And Tuesday was trash day, so I pulled the trash can into my room, and I threw, it wasn't CDs, all right? Albums like a CD on steroids, and I threw them all away. Drug it out there to the trash can to be taken away. Why? 8 tracks. Now you're dating yourself, brother. The point is, I learned the truth, and the truth dictated how I lived, not the other way around. Now, I don't know how we got off on that, but let's get back to what we're talking about. I want you to see two problems that the prodigal had this morning in the short time we have. I want you to see, first of all, he based on his decisions on who he lived for. He based his decision on who he lived for. The bottom line is that he thought only of himself. You know, we live in the selfies generation. You know, selfies. By the way, that little girl is gorgeous. Man, that's the best looking kid in the nursery. Now I'm confused. You know, okay. Instagram. Let me just explain something about Instagram. And I have an Instagram account. I don't want to see your face. I don't. Now I want to see her face. She's gorgeous. Put her right there so I can see her. Selfie isn't just something we post on Instagram. You know what a selfie is? It's a way we live our lives. That's it. I want this, so I'm going to live this way. Everything is based on me. And that's what this man was doing. His decisions were based on what he thought would bring him happiness. By the way, happiness, and you won't like this, it's okay. I don't like it. Happiness is not a destination we arrive at. Happiness is a byproduct of living for God. It's not something you go to acquire. It's something God gives you as you live for him and do the right thing. It's funny how we search for it and we go for it, and that's not how you get it. You just simply come to God and say, man, by the way, the Christian life is the greatest thing in the world. And if you live the Christian life, all those things you're looking for, you will find. You're just not going to find them in the packages you're looking for. And that's our problem. It's not found in doing our own thing. It's found in doing his thing. By the way, that's what pleases God. Now, there's something going on. There's a little video running on the internet of, and by the way, I'm not a fan. Joel Osteen. Okay? If you're new here, Joel, he doesn't teach the Bible. He's a motivational speaker with any other unsaved person. I'm just telling you. His wife has caused a little bit of a stir. Victoria, co-pastor. By the way, that Victoria doesn't have any secrets. Here's what she says. And by the way, other churches may not say it, but this is how they want you to live it. It says this: do good for your own self, because obedience, the church, and worship are not for God as much as for self-happiness. I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves, because God takes pleasure when we're happy. Can you see him blinking his eyes as his wife is preaching? So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. Now, a word comes to mind when I hear this: garbage. And not the clean garbage, the dirty garbage. That's nonsense. God's goal in life isn't for you just to do what you want to be happy. God's goal in life is for us to live for him and be obedient. Now, thank God that when we do that, he gives us joy. But he doesn't give us joy because, well, as long as you're happy. Some people say they're happy doing all kinds of crazy things. That's the kind of Christianity that's going around. That's the kind of Christianity the prodigal had. That's not the kind of Christianity of the Bible. We're looking for it in all the wrong places. He lived for himself in two areas, apart from concern for authorities. You see, he didn't go to his father and ask his father, "Now, Father, I'm thinking I'd kind of like the inheritance early, and here's the reason why." He went to his father and demanded of him. You see, not only do we live in a selfish society, we're afraid to learn anything from anybody. That's just not the American way. The American way is the Lone Ranger running into town by himself. By the way, why do they call him the Lone Ranger when he had Tonto? I wonder how Tonto felt about that. The Lone Ranger, he's like, "I'm right here. Hey, did you forget about me?" There are no Lone Rangers. When you think you know everything, you are in big trouble. None of us know anything. That's why we have authorities that help us in our life. But there are some people, they just do not like authority. You see, most of the time, people don't want to ask somebody about what they're thinking of doing because they don't want the person to tell them no. By the way, people come in the office sometimes, "You know, I wanted to run this by you. And, you know, I'm going to do this." I'm like, "Okay, thanks. Thanks for telling me. You know, let's pray." That's not counsel. I talk to a lot of people that, and they think it's counsel, but no, it isn't. Counsel is only counsel when you're coming saying, "I have a problem. Is there any scriptures or is there anything from the Bible that can help me in this area?" You know, couples will come in and they want, "We want counseling." No, you don't. You want a referee. And I don't have time to be a referee. Now, John, he's a referee. And when he used to ref during our sports leagues, he's the most hated guy in the church. It could be because he doesn't know what he's doing. Okay. They just want a ref. Well, make her do that. Make him do that. Or open your drawer and grab the spoofle dust and whew, everybody's happy. Counsel is, here's a problem. What do we have to do to get this fixed? It's not putting a stamp of approval on what you want to do. And that's what most of us want. God has given us all the authorities that we need in our life to help us. We have the Bible. The Bible is our ultimate authority. The Bible is the book that has all the answers. And by the way, don't go running around, "I'm a Christian, I love God," and you're doing your own thing, and you never crack your Bible open. Maybe that's why you don't know where you're going in life. Whenever you are afraid to do whatever God wants you to do, that's a bad place to be. The good place to be is, "God, what do you want me to do?" You say, "Well, what if God wants me to do something I don't want to do?" You know, God loves you and he knows what's best for you. So it always goes back to a faith issue. If you trust the Lord, you'll do what he said. Authority. Authority is a part of life, and we would be wise to take advantage of it and not go off and do our own thing. We don't like authority. Fact of the matter, now in our public school system, you can't tell the kids what to do. They'll get a lawyer. Look, when I was in school, I was not a good kid. I was probably if my mother would have taken me to the doctor and the psychologist, they probably would have gave me Prozac or something. Okay, I didn't stick colors in my nose and things like that, but I didn't listen very well. Can I just tell you something? When I was in third grade, I listened. I had a teacher named Mr. Selznick. Now, Mr. Selznick would be in jail today. Mr. Selznick used to spank us in front of the class with a yardstick. Say, how do you know? I've been there, done that. We'd come in from lunch and like, Steve wasn't paying attention. Steve, get up here. Wham! Can I just tell you something? I was motivated to learn right after that happened. I remember one time the yardstick broke and I'm like, praise, I wasn't saved. I'm like, praise God, because I got in trouble that day. I'm like, he got nothing to hit me with. He pulled out a ruler. He said, stick your hand out. Whack! Now that was borderline. I wouldn't do that. The point I'm making is, can I just tell you something? In third grade, I felt led to listen. And by the way, he had my respect. And I dare go home and tell my, at that time my mom would work a different shift, so during the day we're with our grandparents. If I went home and told my grandparents, I got a swap for Mr. Selznick, nah, you don't do that. Because grandma's worse, okay? And I'm not saying go, I'm just saying we have this lack for authority. We feel like we can't tell, there's no authority, how dare, you know, they call it, if you say so, you're preaching to them. Well, there is a right and wrong. You can say all you want, there isn't, but there is. In a society that doesn't have a right and wrong, you got issues. The school system, our colleges are, there is no right and wrong. Truth is relative. Whatever you think is true for you, and I have no right to force my truth on you. Now, let me tell you the conclusion. Several years ago, there was a man at Cal State Berkeley, California University of Berkeley, who decided, fine, my truth is I come to class naked. And he did. And because of their truth, no one could say, don't do that. And they were all up in arms like, how are we going to stop this? Because we don't have a right to tell him what to do. By the way, yes, you do. But you know what they did? They got a sexual harassment suit on them, so that's how they got it. Remember, when truth doesn't work, politics will, all right? That's what happens. There is a right and wrong, but we don't like it. So he was selfish. He didn't care about authority, and he had no concern for others. He wanted what was his. He didn't care about his family. He didn't care about his father. He didn't care about the business. He just wanted to do what was best for him. Life cannot be just about us. It can't be. Fulfillment in life comes from loving and living for God and being concerned about other people. Working with us. Look, with our ministry workers is next Saturday. We have a big group of people here that help out, whether they're helping out with parking. It's kind of hard to help out with parking because we don't have any right now. But our parking attendants and nursery and Sunday school and people that clean and you name it. Why are they doing that? They're doing it for Jesus through others. Yep. That's where joy comes from. It can't just be all about ourselves. People that live those kind of lives are miserable. Think about missionaries. We have our missions conference. Missionaries, who I think our country has a lot of problems. It's still the greatest country on earth. It's not a Bible thing. I'm just throwing it out there. We have freedoms. Now they're being eroded, okay? But we still have freedoms. We still have churches in this country. There are people pretty much every part of this country that can get up this morning and say, you know, I want to go to a church that preaches the gospel, and they could find one. And so here are missionaries that will leave their country, they'll leave their family, they'll leave their home to go to some part of the world where their people don't speak their language, they don't eat their food, they don't act the same way they do, and they'll give their lives for other people. Yep. The Hawkins, 57 years in Africa. Oh, you think they had some hardships? I'm pretty sure they did. But their life wasn't about themselves. Their life was for other people. Amen. That's why you celebrate missionaries. You celebrate our guys that are going to the mission field. So first, he based his decisions on who he lived for. Secondly, he based his decisions on what he lived for. He lived for the wrong things. Basically, his concern was for himself, so he lived for that which he thought would bring him joy in several areas. He lived primarily for right now without any regard for the future. He took that money, that inheritance. By the way, his loving father gave him that inheritance. That was to be for a life. He was to be a steward of what God gave him. Stewardship month isn't just July, amen? It's all year round. Stewardship isn't just about money, it's about everything in your life. And he was to be a steward of what his father lovingly gave him. And you know what he did with it? Like that. Wasted it. He could not think about the future. So how many times do we get caught up in sins and we do something only thinking about the fulfillment of the pleasure right now without one thought as to what is that going to do out in the future? If you struggle with pornography today, and I pray that you don't, you need to get that fixed. You are ruining everything of yours in the future. Some of you are flirting around and messing around, and I'm not trying to meddle this morning, but since we're going to. And you're flirting around with somebody at work, and you're texting someone you shouldn't text, and it's not just yes or no or this or that. It's a little bit more behind it. You're going to sacrifice your future for some kind of gratification in the present. By the way, when you text somebody and they're a lady, it's quick. I hope I don't sound rude when I email some of you. Man, she's still beautiful. Every time that phone turns on. You know, someone emails, it's a lady, it's quick. I'm not going to, you know, yeah, I hope you're having a great day, but no, I don't care if you're having a great day. I hope you are. But it's like, here's the answer to your question, we're done. Okay? Now, I'm not going to put, you know, like, you too or whatever. I'll spell it out, don't worry. But I'm not going to get in some long conversation with somebody else. I don't need that. But we need to be very careful. Satan's good at saying, you need this now. And you get it now, and what happened? Now you've ruined your future. Boy, we need to be careful. They did a study years ago. They put these kids in a room, and they gave them all a marshmallow. They said, you get one marshmallow. Now, if you'll wait for 10 minutes and not eat it, it's 10 or 15, we'll give you two. If you want to eat it, you eat it now, you just get one. If you wait, give you two. And so a great portion of the kids didn't wait. They ate the one. But there were some kids that actually waited, and they ate the two. The purpose of the study is they followed these kids until they became adults. They found out that the kids that got the instant gratification did worse in school, were more involved in crime, had worse relationships and marriages than the kids that had learned early on to delay gratification. Why? It's ingrained in us. If we're not careful, we get saved and bring that into our spirituality. Don't sacrifice your future for the now. Some of you do it financially. Get your credit cards, and I got to have this now, and we'll figure it out later. You ain't figuring it out later. Okay, be very, very careful. You get yourself in debt by living for now. Spiritually speaking, we hold on to everything we can, and we won't support missionaries, we won't give to the building, we won't tithe because I got to have everything right now. Listen, do you know there's a reckoning coming one day? We'll stand before the judge, and he's like, what did you do with the resources I gave you? Did you give to missions? Well, you know, I couldn't do missions because I had to do this. Oh, how about the building? Oh, I'm glad they built it, and, you know, I went out there one Saturday and helped. Did you give to it? You sinned it on ahead. What was it they said about John D. Rockefeller when he died? Someone asked, how much did he leave behind? And they said, all of it. I read a story, there's a pastor, and he was in Egypt. He was taking a tour over there, and he was in Egypt, and he went to the grave of William Borden, a missionary who could have had money, but he went to the mission field, and he died very young. And he went to the grave, the place in outside of Cairo where he was buried, and they didn't take care of the graveyard. There was weeds and stuff, and it wasn't very pretty. The same day, he went into one of the major museums, and he saw all the things that they brought out of Tutankhamun's, King Tut's tomb. All this gold and all this ornate. And he thought back to the two different burials. Tutankhamun, to all that stuff with them. William Borden didn't take anything, and they don't even take care of his grave. But he thought, who's better off now? See, he sent his on ahead. Whenever we do anything and we serve God and we invest in something, man, we're not living for the now. We're living for the eternal. That's the eternal mindset. Don't just live for the here and now. So we saw he lived for the now and not the future. He lived for his flesh, and he ignored the spirit. The Bible says he wasted his living with riotous living, immoral living. We all live in the flesh. The flesh naturally wants to do that which is wrong. But can I just tell you something? We also have the Spirit of God that indwells in us. And the Spirit of God pushes us to do that which is right. I've mentioned on many occasions, but the fruit of the Spirit and many of the qualities of the Bible that you read are not natural to us. Mercy and long-suffering and all that. It's like, that's a mother holding a baby. That's not me. Well, you know, you don't understand my upbringing. That's just how I am. I get it. That's how I am. We call that the flesh. How do you overcome that? The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Man, we just preached a whole series of messages on being connected to Christ. When we're connected to Christ, his Spirit and his Word dwell in our heart, and it produces that fruit in our life. Amen. That's where it comes from. Don't just always do what you feel like doing. And then he also adopted the value system of the unsaved world. He didn't adopt God's. Can I just tell you something? If the world is not saved, their principles by which they live are not going to be based on Scripture. Now, there was a time in our country early on, not everything, but we kind of had a Judeo-Christian mindset. Our founding fathers kind of ingrained that in us. No one was perfect. It was not utopia. I'm not saying that. But we were better off. But the world's gotten worse and worse. And so if it's not from Scripture, if it's not from the Word of God, you're going to hear principles that are just totally, totally, totally opposed to what the Bible says. We must be careful we're not allowing ourselves to be fed those things. Because if we're fed those things, it gets in our mind, and what gets in our mind eventually comes out in our actions. It always starts in the heart. When someone gets involved in something tragic or some sin, it started in their mind. Something got lodged in there, and eventually it comes out in their action. When we talked about prayer many months ago, we brought up Psalm 66:18. He goes, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Not in my life. Now, that's coming, but it starts in our heart. We regard it. We may not do certain things, but in our mind, we think it's okay. It's going to lead to the way that we live. Be careful. Let's not fall for all the nonsense that you hear on the radio. You say, well, I listen to these things, and it's just not, turn it off. Now, I don't live far away. There's a little traffic, but I come in the morning, I'll listen to the sports guy. It's a 10-minute segment. And sometimes he's talking, and sometimes he'll say something that's kind of right on about society. But a lot of times, it's like, that's garbage. Click, turn it off. It's like, he just spun to another area. He's ridiculous. I ain't listening to him. And you hear that over and over and over. That's why I don't watch the news. First of all, I don't want to be suicidal. And second of all, I don't want to get angry. It's like, you got to be kidding me. I'm trying to have a good spirit. By the way, you ought not to listen to that type of music that pushes you down that road. Man, listen to something that's uplifting. Talks about Jesus Christ. What you see on television or movies. By the way, it's mostly all junk. Dad's always an idiot. Mom's always got it together. And the kids run the house. That's a recipe to disaster. Be careful what you read on social media, on the internet, what you hear on the news or reading a magazine, or that a friend, relative, or coworker tell you. If it's not God's perspective, you need to have enough discernment to say, I'm not going to listen to that stuff. Because once we get in there, then we start adopting that value system, and that's how we live our life. That's how he got to the point where he said, you know what? This is what will bring me joy. This is what will bring me happiness. Instead of looking at it and realizing that takes me to the pig pen. And for the Jews, because the pig was an unclean animal, that was especially offensive to him. But we live for ourselves, and we live for the wrong things. How's your mindset today? You say, well, I'm not in the pig pen. You don't just fall into the pig pen. How do you live your life? How do we make our decisions? How do we determine our direction? Is it based only on you? Is it based on things that are outside of Scripture that you think will bring you happiness? The coolest this, all that? Let's not end up like the prodigal. Let's trust our Father. Say, but I really want joy in my life. You know what? So does God. That's why he commands us to be joyful. Because he knows if we serve him and we follow his ways, he'll give it to us. But we'll never find it living for ourselves. We'll never find it following the wrong path. It's only as we follow God's path in our life. Let's stand together this morning.